All right, welcome to November 29th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do this show is because I love my country. I'm a proud patriotic American, and as such, I will also point out the injustices of our government. Nobody ever said America is perfect, but that in of itself proves how great America is, simply because of the fact that we can talk about it openly. Don't forget to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Let me know what you think about today's episode and get involved in the discussion. Your comments and questions are highly encouraged, so thank you for that. I assemble this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're ever looking to move to the area, or if you have any questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. That's Teresa with an H. And let's begin the show as we normally do with a Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Woohoo! America! And now on to today's program. Revolution News. James J. comes up with Washington's new secret weapon, Invisible Ink Plus. Congress creates the Committee of Secret Correspondence. And fake orange mustaches invade a Denver Broncos game at Mile High. All right, so now let's do this. 1775. James J. hands his new secret weapon over to General George Washington, Invisible Ink. Throughout the American Revolution, George Washington relied on the intelligence of his spy ring to track British troop movement. This information was critical in changing significant events during the course of the Revolution, including the Benedict Arnold betrayal debacle, Lord Cornwallis' decision to stay in Yorktown instead of going to New York City, and even the economic warfare that was waged on the Americans by the British. Now, the British had occupied the city of New York since August of 1776. Abraham Woodhull and Benjamin Tallmadge would be the main communicators in the spy ring, and the team of Caleb Brewster, Austin Rowe, and several others would round out the network. Woodhull and Tallmadge had grown up as neighbors together, making their affiliation non-suspicious. He would travel to New York to visit with his sister and her husband. There he would check out the troop situation in the city, return to Setauket, and that information would be reported back to Washington. To provide cover, Woodhull swore allegiance to the crown as a loyalist. I mean, can you imagine? Dude must have been more nervous than Colin Farrell in a liquor store some days. He was sure that the British were starting to catch on to his scheme, even believed they started following him. Washington would have to provide another layer of security, and fast. And that, my friends, is where James J., the older brother of America's first Chief Justice John Jay, came up with his invisible ink. Yes, James was knighted by King George back in the day, but as tensions mounted in America, he would use his brilliant chemistry skills and side with the Patriot cause. Now, up to this point, cryptography had not been anything new. Obviously, chemically tampered ink had been around for hundreds of years. The old onion juice trick could be read only by holding the letter up to a candle flame. In fact, it was common for the British military to use disappearing ink and label the messages with an F or an A to let the recipients know to decipher it using fire or acid. So Washington needed something different, something that the British could not necessarily have access to and definitely had not seen before. If anyone ever told you that George Washington never told a lie, apparently didn't realize that during the American Revolution, most of what Washington said was a lie. And this was just another example of it. These days, we use data encryption standard as the architecture for simple messages, getting more complex using AES, or Advanced Encryption Standards. Those numbers that are crunched there are mind-blowing to most of us. Many of us IT folks have to take a security test every 3 to 5 years. Trust me, it's not easy. But before the days of three-way internet protocol handshakes and complicated algorithms, Jay used what he called a sympathetic stain. He would write the letter in regular ink, and on the bottom of the letter, his special chemicals. It's been said that one of the best ways to hide something is put it in plain sight, so messages could be sent, actually leaving the letters unsealed in case the British authorities did want to take a closer look. And now, Woodhull finally had the magic ink that he needed to put his tensions at ease. Just in time for a very long winter for General George Washington. 1775, Congress creates the Committee of Secret Correspondence. Its purpose was to communicate with sympathetic Britons and other Europeans at the beginning of the American Revolution. The committee coordinated diplomatic functions for the Continental Congress and directed transatlantic communication and public relations. It consisted of Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Harrison, John Dickinson, John Jay, and Robert Morris. Silas Deane was nominated to meet with French Foreign Minister Charles Gravier, coup de Virgins, to sell America's need to military assistance and to ensure that the American colonies were looking for a total separation from Great Britain. The name of the Committee of Secret Correspondence would be thankfully changed to the Committee of Foreign Affairs, which makes a lot more sense and sounds better in my humble opinion. 2015, fake orange mustaches invade Sports Authority Field at Mile High in Denver. During the two-minute warning at the first half of the Broncos game against the New England Patriots, 6,471 Broncos fans broke the world's record for having the most fake mustaches in one seating. It can be argued that a man's game doesn't need a stadium full of spectators that can't grow hair above their lips, but the spectators also include women and children, to be fair. The Denver Broncos teamed up with CC Health to put on this awareness festive orange hairy moment. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for November 29th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what you think about today's episode. For instance, have you ever tried to use onion juice as invisible ink? Bronco fans, did you have a fake orange moustache in that game? So yeah, let me know what you think. Be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about the Brady Bill, the Battle of Franklin, and Steve Aoki. So don't miss that. And until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.